Well, you know that it's going to be all right. I think it's gonna be all right. Everything will always be all right when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going.
Good morning, shoppers, all the throughout the central Iowa area within listening range of my head roaring. Good morning. This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, an area and a show and an idea that is committed to the idea that all of us as shoppers should have a great experience when we're shopping. What does that mean? How do we make it better? All of us, shoppers, employees, owners, managers, all included. We're all kind of in this dealio together. We'll talk about that this morning. Happy Father's Day weekend. Dads being honored, hopefully, this morning and all weekend long. Tomorrow's the official day, but hey, listen, you know, Dad, you get one day out of the year. I think you can make it a whole weekend. Why not? You do the maybe breakfast in bed. Yeah, the kids do that, and they make oatmeal. It's really not edible, but that's okay. And they try to make coffee, and they make it out of dirt and water instead of coffee grounds and Folgers. But, hey, you know, it's all about the idea anyway. Coming up on the radio program this morning, we will speak with Brad Murray. He is a manager, the store manager at Midas on Douglas, as well as Jason Huntley, and he manages the Tuffies on West Grand in Des Moines, West Des Moines. And the reason we're going to focus on those two incredible dudes on this Father's Day weekend is because they were part of a 15-store tour last week as I secret shopped 15 auto repair spots. We're going to talk about that in a minute, and they just did an extraordinary job, and we'll talk to them this morning. Also, new research from the Consumer Reports National Research Center asks 30,000 shoppers which retailer they like the most and why, and also part of those questions have to do with customer service. Really interesting findings that came out last week. I'll share those with you. This morning, your weather forecast is a wet one. It's been that way for most of the work week, and it will not disappoint, but today we're good. We're dry, although there's fog out there, and I drove past Gray's Lake this morning coming in. Just a beautifully surreal scene. Amazing fog on the water. And it was sort of, it was a combination of a William Faulkner novel and a Stephen King movie. It was really looked amazingly beautiful, but yet you thought if you went over there that you'd be eaten by something in the fog. So it's sort of a combo deal, but it's beautiful as the fog burns off. The sunshine will prevail this morning and throughout the day, and it's going to be a hot and humid one, as you may have noticed if you stuck your head out the window already. 86 for the top side. And then thunderstorms back into the forecast, and we had some nasty ones go through the area repeatedly yesterday, and some flooding, some flash flooding. Rivers definitely over their banks. In fact, I wonder how long Fluor Drive is going to be open through that section of Gray's Lake because the water is starting to come up, of course, over the sidewalk. Probably got a day or two more unless it really, really rains, which they say it really, really will. Tonight, thunderstorms likely. Some could be severe. Heavy rains possible and a low of 67. Sunday, Father's Day, 50% chance of thunderstorms, but those will hold off, they say, until the afternoon hours as they fire up again. The big mama cumulus clouds billowing upwards, yes, and stratocumulus and a lot of other cumulus stuff. 85 for Sunday's high. Back to work on Monday, and you'll do so under rain and 90, even warmer, as our work week begins next week. A mix of drizzle and fog, 64 degrees currently in the capital city. And today's first focus is auto repair shops, of which most of us, not only statistically but emotionally, I think this is a truism. It's not entirely true, but true enough for our purposes. Most of us are a bit leery of auto repair shops. And one of the reasons is because most of us really don't know our left manifold from our right mizzenmast. We just don't, we know where to put the gas. We know that the oil generally goes into this dealio dough, that the tires require some amount of oxygen placed into them, and that in order to get out of the car and back into it, we have to open the door and then close it. Beyond that, it gets kind of confusing, kind of fuzzy for us. We kind of go into a fog about a lot. Now, a lot of people do know a lot about cars, and I think they're at a decided advantage. But considering how big a purchase a car is, and it's the second biggest purchase we'll make, and we make many of them throughout our lives, It's kind of funny how most of us just don't know about our cars. We're probably more knowledgeable than we used to be. But that whole auto mechanic that, you know, the 11th grade booger eater dropout in high school that you made fun of when you were in high school, who was really a gearhead and a grease monkey. You know, that's the kid that went on to open 10, you know, auto repair shops and is counting more money in the morning than we count the rest of our lives, you know. So it kind of you wonder why there isn't more emphasis on that in high school. Of course, there's a lot of things that don't get emphasized as they could. There's just not enough time. But in any event, those that know a lot about cars are really at an advantage over those of us that don't. And, of course, for those of us that do not, we end up taking them into auto repair shops. There are over 200 auto repair shops in the Des Moines DEX phone book, 2010 version. You've got dealership repair. All of the car dealers have. And that's where we typically take our car to get it worked on. Statistically, where we buy it from is where we take it, assuming that they have auto repair service if it's has new and used both. There are also chain stores, of course, and there's single mom and pop outfits. And then there's your goofy uncle who, you know, again, didn't do so well in school, but did well and got straight A's in shop. And he's just a car dude or a car dudette or whoever it is. Well, those service shops offer solutions. They put our minds at ease with our issues. Brakes, tune-ups, oil changes, trannies, tires, air conditioning. There's a rat gnawing through wiring in there, and I can hear him, you know, when I'm above 30 mile an hour. So, yeah, all that stuff, we take them in. I checked out 15 stores, randomly selected throughout the Des Moines metro area, 15 auto repair shops, and secret shopped them over a period of 2 days. It was really a day, and then the next morning I caught one more. No dealership repair shops were included, and only one mom and pop. Amoco, Firestone, Big O Tires, Car-X, Goodyear Freedom Tire, Midas, Tires Plus, Tuffy's, and Hickman Auto Service was the mom and pop. The issue I went in with to test to see how they would do, of course, from a customer service aspect, which is all what we're all about here at the Unsecret Shopper, is that I could hear a squeak when I went over bumps. Now, I couldn't hear a squeak when I went over bumps. But the reason this was the issue that I put forward is because after speaking with several mechanics who I trust implicitly, and full disclosure here, I do consulting work for and training for Westside Auto Pros in West Des Moines, on 92nd Court. It's a destination. Great guys there. Ron and the gang are just wonderful. But I sat down with one of their mechanics and then spoke to two others that I know who actually don't live in this area. And I said, what is an issue I could take into an auto repair shop that would suggest that they were going to work or look at it immediately if they had time? And what we sort of agreed upon was, all right, squeaky wheels when you hit a bump. And the process should be, and what it's trained at for most auto repair locations and mechanics is, when someone comes in with that issue, you go in with that issue, they should go out to your car with you at some point, maybe not just immediately, but within a relatively short period of time, they should go out with you to your car, get in your car with you as a passenger, and as you drive around and you hear the sound, they hear it too. You point it out. Oh, yeah, there it was. Oh, yeah, there's that squeak. There's that rat gnawing on wire. That's the setup. I wanted to create a scenario where I wanted to be engaged immediately and not necessarily put into the hopper of schedules. Well, we'll schedule you. Can you bring it in next Tuesday? You know, I didn't want to avoid that. And so that's the premise I went in with. And, of course, the five pillars of customer service are just as important in auto repair as they are in any category of business, maybe more so. And, again, it goes back to the beginning. Do we have a fundamental mistrust of mechanics? Not because they're mistrustful people, but because we just don't know. We're flying blind. We're in the dark. And so we're completely vulnerable to their expertise. And also some of it is the whole 60-minute expose. We're going undercover into Mike's auto body to see if, he says there's a $1,000 manifold missing when we know darn well there's not. And you catch him on camera, and somebody comes out, Morley Safer comes out from out of the trunk and says, gotcha, we're from 60 Minutes. You know, and the guy turns pale. So two stores would not look at my car, and I have a 2007 Prius. Those stores were the Hickman Auto and the Amoco on Douglas. Both of them stated that they did not have the apparatus in which to properly diagnose the issue. And that could be, Although I made the point at both places, you know, I said, well, it's you know, it's like a tire thing. Does a Prius really have? I mean, other than it's crazy good gas mileage, but really, don't the tires don't appear to be hexagonal in shape. They don't appear to be made out of a titanium. I didn't really say that, but I thought of it later. So that was a little unusual to me. And again, they simply may not have the proper way to examine, to figure out that problem. But it did sort of raise a yellow flag with me that I thought, well, you know, maybe they just don't wanna. And I think that's a possibility. But having said that, grading all of the remaining 13 locations on the five pillars of customer service, which if you listen to the show or you've ever heard me prattle on about it, those five pillars of customer service, great customer service, must include the following. Smile. In other words, smiling when I come in, you and any of us come into a store. The greeting. What do they ask? What is the first words out of the mouth? Is there a greeting? Is the question they ask an open-ended versus closed-ended question? Open-ended being, what can I help you with? Which opens up all the possibilities of an answer. Versus closed-ended, which is, can I help you? Which really shuts down all thought. It's a yes or no response, and of course we need help. We're here at a place that is supposed to be giving it to us. Smile, greet, engage, the level of engagement. Do they get our name? Do they ask our name and use it throughout our conversation? Do they try to humanize us and themselves in the same process, the engagement level? Do they thank us at the end, the fourth pillar? Do they shake our hand? I think it's completely appropriate. Only reason it may not seem so now is because no one does it. And that, you know, so yes. And then fifth, follow-up. Do they have information which allows them to follow up with us? And most of, I won't say most of the stores, many of the stores set up appointments versus doing what we want them to do, and that is to test it. But let me go through quickly some of the stores that are standouts. I started at the CarX at 4001 Northeast 14th. Asked them if they would look at it. And one of the things I did, too, was I would call in first. And get a sense of what their phone greeting was. And in a couple instances, the phone greeting was just so fast, indecipherable. And I'm 45. I have pretty good hearing, even though I've been in radio a long time. So, yes, it has suffered over the years. But when that happens, I use this example. The movie Alien, remember from 1979, a fine Ridley Scott film that launched the career of Sigourney Weaver and Tom Skerritt and John Hurt and a lot of other, Yaphet Kotto, and wonderful special effects. But Ridley Scott, the director, did something intentionally that sounds bizarre. He took the soundtrack of that film and he garbled it intentionally. He made it tough to understand and hear. And why would that crazy Brit do that, or whatever he is? And the reason he did it is to create tension. When we can't hear anything, it kind of makes us sad. And so, when you get a call, when you call into a repair shop and you cannot understand the person on the other end and you're kind of tense already, that's probably not lowering the tension. And the first call out of the biscuit there from at CarX was, most of it was garbled. I heard Ron and thank you, and that was about it. And the experience is sort of equal to that. Freedom Tire on East Euclid was the next stop. This was the first time a mechanic that they told me they were going to take the car for a test drive and that they would let me know what the mechanic heard. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm the one hearing it. Doesn't it make sense to have me ride along and point out the sound as opposed to the mechanic? And, you know, part of this is machismo. I think just part of this is dude machismo. I'll solve it. I'll figure it out and be right back. Instead of, yeah, come along. How can I know what your sound sounds like? You're the one hearing the sound. So I do think part of this is just sort of male arrogance and egotism, and part of that is part of this is. But anyway, mechanic took the car out, drove it around, and then they did something that was really bad. They put it up on a hoist without even asking me if that was okay. And I've since talked to the manager, Mike, of oversees those stores and everything, and there have been apologies left and right, I have to tell you this, from all of the managers and some of the owners and everything that have to do that are involved with these chain stores. The apologies were, listen, we are sorry if we when doing that. That's not our normal purpose, or that's not normally what we do. And you'll hear all and read all the feedback coming up in Monday Morning Reaction at the Unsecret Shopper, which is the blog that all of this is based upon. Jason, who was at the East Euclid store, did a pretty good job on the greeting and everything else, but just the assumptions were what sort of took away from all of that. And again, when I saw my car up on the hoist, I said, get it down. You know, I want to get out of here. Midas on East Euclid, Dustin there did a pretty nice job. Again, he did the same thing they had done at the previous store. They took it out, mechanic got in, rode around, came back, and then put it on the hoist, didn't ask me. So again, yeah, probably not the best way to do that. Tires Plus with EJ, you know, what wasn't a particularly good experience. Well, EJ had a nice friendly demeanor. There wasn't a lot of name exchanged. One thing that did happen, they told me they didn't have time to check it at that moment, and that I'd have to schedule an appointment, which is fine. I understood that. But when I pulled out, I noticed a mechanic leaning against a wall smoking a cig. And again, I'm thinking, you know, average time to smoke a cigarette, 3 to 7 minutes. Average time maybe to take it for a test drive, 3 to 7 minutes. So again, as a consumer, you're thinking, yeah, maybe they do have time to do all that. Firestone in East Euclid, Richard was wonderful. Great demeanor with Richard. And again, they couldn't look at the car immediately, but did a really nice job at the front end, at the counter. Not a lot of smiling, but just a very pleasant demeanor. 5618 Douglas, the Midas there, that's when Brad really kicked it in. You're going to hear from Brad as we interview him coming up. Brad Murray, the manager and owner there, just did the most extraordinary job of customer service. Smiled and greeted and came around the counter and everything that I train on in customer service training. Brad Murray did a fantastic job. You'll hear more from him coming up. CarX on Merle Hay Road. Phone rang 4 times. The fax machine took it twice. So some problems with the phone at that particular location. And on and on. And Amoco on Hickman Road did a pretty nice job. The Firestone on 22nd Street had just really, the bathroom had issues. That was a bathroom issue. And that was a consistency, I'll say, throughout most of these reviews, is the bathrooms struggled. When you went in, I think only a couple really were what I would call clean. The rest of them really needed more work, and bathrooms, as we've talked about on the show, really are a big part of the experience. The first women I encountered were at the Freedom Tire Goodyear on Hickman Road, West Des Moines, and it sort of lost me at the counter as I was standing there for several minutes without saying anything to me. Big O Tires, again, did the same thing, put the car up on the hoist and asked me if that's what I wanted them to do, but were really nice otherwise and did a really nice job of making it fast. And then Tuffy's on West Grand Avenue, where Jason just did an exemplary job, did it right. The one store that did everything correctly, as you would expect, was Jason Huntley at the Tuffy store in West Grand. He deserves kudos. You're also going to hear from him coming up on this radio program. But what he did was he went out with me on the test drive. And that was just awesome. That's exactly how you want it to be done. So congratulations to Jason. Great job out of Brad as well at Midas. And you're going to hear from both of those guys, as they are little customer service heroes today that really deserve our attention. We'll talk about the great job they did. Coming up, we'll talk to Brad Murray, store manager at Midas on Douglas, find out what makes that guy so doggone happy at work at Midas. That is coming up on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. It is 8:23. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. You are tuned into it at 1350 KRNT at 820. My name is Johnny Wright, your host. I am the writer of the Unsecret Shopper blog, which is basically a blog that's for a guy who can never make it in the newspaper industry and has to just start out. It's like self-publishing a book, which actually I am self-publishing a book this fall, which you'll hear a lot more than you probably want to hear about coming up closer to fall. Coming up on the radio show, we're going to take a look at the latest research, which I think you'll find extremely interesting. 30,000 shoppers surveyed their favorite places to shop, the big boy retailers, and why. Also, we'll talk to Jason Huntley, coming up, store manager at Tuffy's Auto Service on West Grand Avenue, about a great job he did. But talking about great jobs, there is a guy that I met in my travels along the auto repair shop highway last week, who just completely blew my doors off. Amazing guy, great customer service, did all the things that we would expect someone in any retail category to do. Smile, greet, engage, thank, shook hands, kiss babies. Got to be running for governor, for heaven's sakes. Listen, I've seen the polling numbers. I think he could do well. I think he could get us a runoff going, running as an independent on the automotive ticket is what I would suggest he do. Brad Murray, store manager at Midas on Douglas, joins us this morning. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning.
Brad, what got you interested in automotive? Were you like a grease monkey as a kid? Were you always working on your folks' car?
Absolutely. I was always working on my own vehicles, helping my grandfather, you know, growing up, work on his vehicles and things of that nature. Yeah.
So, and do you remember your first, was there like a first car? Of course, we all remember our first car. Did you have a prized car that you wish you still had?
84 Z28 Camaro. Absolutely.
Sweet.
My dad purchased the car for himself, and then he turned around and gave it to me. During school, when I was in high school, we took the engine out of that vehicle as a project and rebuilt it and went through it completely. And it was, I'll never forget that car.
Wow. And don't you wish you had that car right now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt.
Well, so talk about training. Or did you know then out of high school you wanted to be involved with cars?
Yeah, I've always loved cars, been involved with them, been involved with automotive repair. I was a technician myself for a while, went up through the rankings, and then unfortunately I couldn't do it anymore. I kind of threw my back out and just couldn't do it physically. So I figured, well, I love the industry, I love what I do, so let's try a management role, and I got hired on here.
Well, Brad, you're one of those interesting people that has a duality, I think, and you tell me if this sounds right, but there's the left brain skill set that you've obviously, your passion has been automobiles, it sounds like, for a very long time, and there's the skill set you've developed, but there's also the right brain emotional customer service skill set that I am involved with every day that is so strong in you. How did that part come about? Why are you so nice? Why are you so engaging? How did that happen?
Well, maybe it's because it's I don't know, you have to put yourself in a customer's shoes. You have to treat people the way you want to be treated. And I think that within itself, pays dividends in the long run.
Is this, were you, talk about growing up back to your childhood, was this something that was instilled in you as a child?
Well, I don't know if growing up in the South had anything to do with it, but I'm pretty sure that it had a lot to the way I was brought up. I just really enjoy people, and, you know, I try to take that to the next level and, you know, treat them with the most utmost respect.
Well, whereabouts did you grow up?
Savannah, Georgia.
Now, how long were you in the South? Because I don't detect a Southern accent at all.
No, I actually, when I graduated in 93, I moved up here to be closer with my mom, and been here ever since.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, you sound just like us Midwesterners, Brad.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's right. Listen, I was going to say that. You stole my line.
Yeah, there you go.
We are talking with Brad Murray. He's the acting manager at Midas at 5618 Douglas Avenue. Brad, does Midas have a customer service training program?
Actually, they just distilled and took on a gentleman by the name of Steve Webb. He is actually used to be the manager of the Euclid location, and then within 2 years, he was promoted as a regional supervisor. His role at the moment is actually going in and physically training and help training managers throughout our company, and he does a really great job with that.
Let's talk about some of that training. What are some of the points that Steve trains on?
Well, I tell you, it's, you know, when a customer comes in, you have to smile. You have to be open. You know, walk out behind the counter. You know, let the customer know that you're there for them and you want to take care of their needs, and break down that barrier, you know, between the counter and the customer. You know, shake their hand. If they would like their hands to be shook, they'll stick it out there. If they don't, you know, pull back gradually and just let them know, hey, you're here. You want to take care of them.
Was there anything that you've learned in training from the customer service aspect, Brad, that was a surprise to you or something that you hadn't thought of, or was this just something you were sort of doing all the time anyway?
No, you know, before I took on this role here with Midas, I was a service manager slash dispatcher for another company. So I've kind of always been involved with the customer service aspect of it. And plus, I've had some training as well, been flown out to Vegas for service management training out there also. And plus, you pick up little nuances and different things from other people, and to be able to put that on the table, you know. So,
well, secret shoppers are a big part of what I do for my clients. And does Midas utilize secret shoppers?
Midas does utilize secret shoppers. Absolutely, they do.
And so, how do you know how often you're secret shopped? Is there a financial incentive to do well for the employees?
I don't feel that there's a financial incentive for the employees. We are mystery shopped once a month, and it could be like a oil change at first, and then the next one would be a brake inspection or something of that nature. But the financial side of it is yes. When customers come in, you want to take care of them, and being a 100% employee-owned company, you know, that actually pays us back. You know, we want to be an owner, not just an employee. You know, that does help subsidize our income in the future.
One of the things that that a lot of people who work for a lot of companies, there's a sense of that there's the front of the house and the back of the house. And one of the things that I talk about all the time in training is that simply doesn't exist, particularly anymore when you have the internet and you have social networking, and that everyone is really in the front of the house. And particularly with auto repair, the guys who are working back in the garage, they are going to come in contact with customers. Are they as involved in the customer service training as the folks who are up front at Midas?
Yes, and we want them to be a part of that. I see and deal with a lot of customers on a day-to-day basis, and a lot of my customers that come in, you know, they specifically ask for maybe a certain technician, and our technicians do need to have that onset and skill set to be able to talk with them, you know, on that level.
Brad, being someone who receive training from Midas and your mystery shop, and someone who believes in that just as a foundation for who you are as a human being, is it tough sometimes for you to go out to other stores, whether it's grocery shopping, convenience, whatever you're doing, and see employees who obviously haven't been properly trained in good customer service?
No, absolutely it is. It's funny you should mention that. I was just at stopped by, you know, Casey's on my way home last night, and, you know, grabbed a gallon of milk. I set it up on the counter. I said, "Hey, how are you doing today?" and this and that. And, you know, the gentleman behind the counter, he, no smile on his face, no, you know, no nothing. And I was like, "Well, you know, thank you and have a good day." I'm, you know, walking out the door, and he still didn't say anything. And I just kind of nonchalantly turned around, and maybe I shouldn't have said this, but I go, "You know what? If you would just smile, you would feel 100% better within yourself," you know, and then walked out the door. But no, it makes a huge difference no matter where you go.
If more customers did that, I tell you what, the world of customer service training would go away. There would be no need for it. I mean, it would, and I also tell people all the time, shoppers, you know, if someone only gives you the price, only says the price of your item, you should put down the item and walk out and go somewhere else where they'll do more than that. And Brad, you're doing a phenomenal job out there, not only at Midas, but obviously outside this store, reminding all employees how important customer service is. And let me ask you this. Somebody listening this morning is thinking, you know what, I've got great customer service skills, but I am being underutilized, or maybe I'm simply unemployed at this point, and I want to come work for the great people at Midas. What would be their process to do that?
You know what, they are more than welcome to come in, sit down, talk with myself. They can fill out an application. We have a open door policy here that if you ever want to come in or talk to us, or, you know, we'll be here to help you. We'll always be here, and we're not going anywhere. We're a strong organization, and we're going to continue to push forward.
Well, Brad, I know that you had just started working in that capacity at that Midas location just on that Monday of that week that I came in just last week. So Already you're tearing it up, man. You're doing a great job, and it was a real pleasure to meet you that day that we secret shopped the Midas store at 5618 Douglas Avenue, and it's a real pleasure to let everyone know just how good a job you're doing. So thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you very much, Johnny. I appreciate everything you've done for me thus far, and I just want to say, you know, anybody out there who's looking for a good automotive repair facility that they can love and trust, come down and see us here at Midas.
Absolutely. And I like that Brad is pimping it at the end. See, that is the mark of a guy who's going to do very, very well in that organization, Brad Murray from Midas. Just a super guy. Thank you so much for joining us. A couple other places that did well that I didn't mention. Big O Tires had the best bathroom. Yes. Really nice. And they had this nice, cool three-light track lighting thing. And pretty nice people inside the store as well. Also, the Amoco on 7501 Hickman Road. Did pretty well. Nathan, who's the president and owner there, pretty nice job. Bathroom had some issues, but otherwise a nice work there. Coming up on the radio program, we'll look away from automotive and we'll look at just retail in general. Consumer Reports has some research out, 30,000 shoppers surveyed. What retailers did they like the best? You'll find out who that is and why coming up next right here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. This is 1350 KRNT.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
No matter where you shop, you should get a smile and a greeting and be engaged and thanked and followed up with. It's all about customer service here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT 835. Thank you for joining me. My name is Johnny Wright. If you think you've got what it takes to be a secret shopper, of which my company, the Biosphere, uses many, many dozens now and growing. If you think you got what it takes, if you like to shop, if you have great observation skills in your memory and you have a good memory, because typically when people are sent in on secret shopping assignments for me, they, men, women, races, all colors, all origins, all pregnant, non-pregnant, 1 foot, 3 feet, whatever, everybody, all colors, everybody who is sent in has to have a couple things in common. First of all, you just have to be able to remember stuff because you don't have a piece of paper and pencil that says at the top, I'm a secret shopper, I need to write stuff down. You know, you're going to go in there and really try to remember stuff. And also very observant because there are left brain things and right brain things that secret shoppers look for and react to. Left brain being the analytical, detail-driven part of our brains, which is like a flow chart that we do A, B, and C. It's almost the stuff that is automatic to us that we, out of habit, brushing our teeth, combing our hair, or figuring out problems on a test, or trying to diagnose. That's all left brain stuff, part of the brain. The right brain part is the emotional. It's the happy, joyful, euphoric place in us. It's also the depressed and upset and mad, angry. It's all out of the same vat in our heads. And some of us, you know, have larger vats than others. But that's the emotional stuff. And so secret shoppers are asked, at least mine are, here's the left brain stuff we're looking for, the five pillars of customer service, smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up. And then there's the right brain. How did you feel about your experience? And so someone who is very strong in both of those modes of their brain, those are the kind of folks that I'm looking for. And if you think you've got what it takes and would enjoy making a little extra money on the side, being a secret shopper for the Unsecret Shopper, a couple different ways you can do it. You can call my cell phone, which I have no problem giving out, 480-4190, 480-4190. Or you can email me at johnnywright@thebiosphere.com. That's JohnnyWright at TheBuyosphere.com. I'd love to talk with you and hear from you. Well, somebody who is being heard are 30,000 shoppers who were surveyed by Consumer Reports, a national research center. Last year, we spent $405 billion at Walmart, according to Consumer Reports. But according to a new study by the Consumer Reports National Research Center, they might be better off if they switch stores. Very interesting. And this was on Yahoo last week, printed off by permission. For all the talk about Walmart's low prices, I'm quoting, 30,000 subscribers to Consumer Reports said the prices at 10 other retailers, including JCPenney, Sears, Dillard's, and a store whose name I do not know how to pronounce. I feel like the bozo on the retail bus. M-E-I-J-E-R. Is that Meijer? Major? Meijer? That's the I before E, except after C, followed in. Okay, I'm just going to call him, I'm going to call it Biff's Retail Outlet, were at least as good. And bigger wasn't necessarily better when it came to the overall shopping experience. Almost three-quarters of the respondents who shopped at Walmart found at least one problem to complain about. And half had two or more complaints about the store or its staff out of the 30,000 people who were polled. Now, for those of us who have been into Walmart, and really any retail setting, if you could take pictures of it and look at it, very, very few people are smiling. Not just the employees, but the shoppers who come through. It's typically, and it goes back to something that we talk about all the time on this show. If employees are going to wait for shoppers to smile at them before they smile back, then we're all going to stay in this constant state of unsmiliness. Now, whether or not we're happy or unhappy is a different kind of question, because we can be happy, not necessarily reflect that on our faces. But it does beg the question, then, who smiles first? And, of course, for business owners, there's only one answer to that question, and that's, of course, employees and managers and owners and the people working on the front lines of retail. And it's my proposition, my preposition, and my supposition to you, in other words, ending in T-I-O-N, that if more employees smiled more consistently, that, you know, our shoppers might start coming around a little bit more. And overall, retail might look a little happier. If you're shopping this weekend, if you're shopping today, maybe a last-minute Father's Day gift, you know, and that's fine. Hey, listen, Dad, the one person who doesn't care, let me tell you, the one guy in the room who's never going to care that you shop last minute for him or her, that is your dad, all right? In fact, he, you know, whatever you get him, he's going to be absolutely thrilled with. He's the easy guy to shop for. But if you're out there shopping wherever, Walmart or big box or small retailer, whatever it is, look around and see if you can find a smile. See if you can find a smile on anyone's face anywhere, inside a Hy-Vee or a Dolls or wherever, Walmart, any store you're inside. See if you can find one. And if you can find an employee who is smiling, go up to them and thank them. In fact, with the Unsecret Shopper, I have what I call the Smile Project. Anytime I see an employee smile, who smiles at me when engaging me at the checkout counter or anywhere, I'll give them $25. I've handed out $25 three times in a month. Three times. So in all the moments and all the opportunities I've had to shop and all the people I've been in front of, you know, you think, gosh, you know, we've got to do a better job of that. So in any event, pay attention to that, because it does matter. It does matter about our overall experiences. Walmart and Kmart, going back to the research study, scored notably lower than the other chains, but Costco stood tall, says the research. In addition to citing the warehouse club's rock-bottom prices, survey respondents praised its bang for the buck. It's the only store judged much better than average for value. Some of the other findings, and this is the most important part to me because it has to do with customer service, four chains earned outstanding scores for merchandise quality: Costco, Dillard's, Macy's, and Sears. No, that wasn't the piece. Oh, yes, that'll have nothing to do with customer service. Ah, here it is. When it comes to service, Dillard's stood out from the pack. According to Jack Abelson, president of Jack Abelson & Associates out of Kansas, service is deteriorating industry-wide because of retailers' fixation on low prices. Abelson says, quote, "The trouble today is that the staff is not trained to be anything but glorified cashiers and security guards," unquote. Amen, brother. Shoppers at Kmart, Walmart, and Sam's Club were more likely than others to complain about the staff. Interesting. Just what we just talked about. In addition to the lack, and that's what I say. Listen, it's tougher to be upset with someone when they can't stop smiling at you. That's tougher. But it's much easier if they're frowning. Yeah, yeah. And it kind of plays into my, you know, I'm unhappy too, and I'm gonna tell them. And I'm gonna just dump it right here in this store. And boy, don't we see that acted out all the time inside retail. In addition to a lack of sales help, The most prevalent problems were that desired items were out of stock and that checkouts were jammed. In fact, 29% of shoppers we surveyed complained about long lines. The problems were much worse than average at Kmart, Walmart, and other chain superstores. So interesting research, though, from Consumer Reports National Research Center. You can Google search that. I just think that stuff is absolutely fascinating, and particularly the impact of customer service and smiling and everything. But Walmart, yeah, you ain't got it going on. There's other retailers in there that obviously people see as better, as even a better value, not just about price, but it's about a lot of things. That's why we shop where we shop. Coming up, a guy that I absolutely am thrilled to introduce you to, and the guy who really did it right in our 15 stops at auto repair shops across the Des Moines Metro, Jason Huntley from Tuffy's. We'll talk to him coming up next. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. It's 8:43. Good morning.
Hey, hey, hello, Mr. Business around the world. It's a playing ground from Rome to Hong Kong.
This is how much fun they're having. Yeah, Mr. Businessman, Mrs. Businesswoman, everybody join in. Have fun at work today. That's the key ingredient. Have fun, period. This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Hope you're having fun this Father's Day weekend. One little tidbit I forgot to mention to you from the Consumer Reports research I was quoting from earlier. And I was really kind of saving this because, you know, if you've known how I feel about the people at Target and some of the ways that things I've had there. It says that Target's cheap, chic goods didn't wow everyone. Despite its high-profile partnerships with fashionistas Cynthia Vincent, Eugenia Kim, and Zach Posen, survey respondents judged the quality of Target's women's clothing and watches and jewelry below average, and the store's kitchenware, home decor, and men's and children's apparel average. And they should be playing music inside the stores, but that's a whole nother different issue. One thing that is not an issue is the fantastic service that I got at the last stop on my auto repair service shop tour. That was at Tuffy's, where Jason Huntley, the one on West Grand, is the manager there and did a wonderful job. And that is, and explain, I want to explain for listeners, that is that I brought in my car to you on a Wednesday morning complaining that it had a squeak when I hit bumps. And you did what no one else did, Jason. You actually got in my car with me and went with me on a test drive. Jason, I want to know what's up? What's wrong with you? What are you, crazy?
I guess I'm a little crazy. When a customer gives me an unidentified noise, I kind of like to hear it. And, you know, typically they seem to be the best ones to be able to point it out.
Well, Jason, is that a standard, and I'm sure you've been through a lot of training, I want to get to that, when a customer, and I checked with multiple mechanics before I came up with this particular problem, and they all told me, these three guys that I very, very much trust said that the standard operating procedure at auto repair shops is that when someone has a squeaky sound when they go over a bump, that it is part and parcel to have someone get in the car with the driver while they drive and listen for the sound. Is that trained at Tuffy's?
Yes, absolutely. You know, but going beyond the training, it's just kind of common sense. Customers have a very intimate relationship with their vehicle. It's their second most expensive purchase, typically, and they spend a tremendous amount of time in it. They typically drive the same routes day after day. They know the vehicle. They know the noises it makes and doesn't make. And to kind of make my job simpler and my technician's job simpler, if we can eliminate all the stuff that we hear and concentrate on what the customer's concerned about, it definitely makes the entire process go a little bit faster.
One of the things that was done a number of times is that when I took it to a shop, and I don't expect you to speak for them, but a mechanic would take the car out themselves without me in it. And have you heard of that being done at other shops? And doesn't that seem to be sort of missing the key ingredient, that is, the guy who's actually heard the sound?
You know, it does occasionally happen, and unfortunately it occasionally happens here. If someone drops their car off in the morning and they give us a good description of what they have going on, but they need to get to work or go run some other errands, we occasionally have to have a mechanic go out and drive it himself. And we run the risk of fixing another problem that we've identified, but the customer will come back the next day and say, hey, you know, it's still making that same noise.
And then we look bad because while we fixed something that was wrong, we didn't address the customer's primary concern, which was the noise they heard. So it's definitely the ideal situation if we can get in the car with the customer and take a ride with them and identify what they're concerned about.
Well, as I remember from our wonderful conversation in my Prius while we were tooling around, listening for a squeaky sound that actually, there wasn't one, but you actually heard something.
I did. And there, you know, it's, again, and that, I think that kind of illustrates the point I was trying to make, where if I had been in there myself, I heard that noise, I'd have the technicians look at it, and it might not have been your primary concern.
Well, it was, I tell you what it did is it made me think, you know what, I really need to get my car into Tuffy's and have you guys look at it. That was, you know, not depend on my own inadequate ears to hear that. But, Jason, in our conversation, you said that, I remember you talking about, that you haven't spent, it isn't like you spent a lifetime repairing an occupation committed to repairing cars. You've done a lot of other things, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been in and out of the car business for about the last 20 years, and I've worked on everything from big diesel generators to semi-trucks and basically been in the fix-it business my entire career.
When did that start? Did you have a proclivity as a kid? Were you around people who liked cars as well?
Oh, absolutely. A pretty standard story in the repair business. I think I took apart the old man's lawnmower at 13 or 14, and that one never quite got put back together, but, you know, I was always interested in how things worked and wanted to see the inside of stuff and see how, if you could fix it. And so my very first job was a lot porter at an automotive dealership, and, you know, washing cars, driving them around the lot, and so just kind of got into it from there and went in the Navy and worked on the big diesels, and then came out in the private sector and continued to work in the diesel market until just a few months ago.
Are you from the Des Moines area originally?
No, I grew up in Omaha, so I've moved a little ways away from home here. It's Midwest, a nice place to raise kids, and so my family and I settled here about 6 years ago.
Well, Coach McDermott, former Iowa State basketball coach, you guys just switched places. Now he's coaching Creighton now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is that you? Are you a big Blue Jay fan?
No, I'm a Husker alumni, so I'm
Scarlet
and cream all the way through.
Well, you're in the Big Ten now. What is up with that?
It's just like everything else in life. You got to go where the money is.
Absolutely right. Jason Huntley is our guest this morning. He is the store manager at Tuffy's at 2135 West Grand Avenue in West Des Moines. Now, one thing that impressed me about you, Jason, and you talked about this left brain skill set that you developed and you had a passion for growing up, and you've been around cars and vehicles all your life, but you're also just a nice guy. And that's not a left brain skill set. That's a right brain talent in my book. Why are you so nice?
You know, Johnny, we all have to go to work every day. I like to have fun. I like the people around me to have fun. And I try to create an atmosphere where people can relax a little bit, have a good time, and not necessarily look forward to bringing their car in for service, but at least understand when they come in, maybe I'll make them smile. Maybe they'll have a little bit better day because of it.
Well, I got to tell you, the Prius is not, as anyone who's been inside one knows, it's about the size of two phone booths back to back with wheels. And so being in a car with a complete stranger, as both you and I were to each other, I have to say that you made me completely comfortable. And that's a real talent. And so thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
What is the future for Tuffy's at that West Grand Avenue location? Now, you've just got there a couple months ago, correct?
That's correct.
What is Tuffy's? How do they empower you? How do they empower you to grow your particular location? What do they do for you? And is there customer service training? Are there secret shoppers? What are the tools at your disposal?
Yeah, absolutely. The you know, Tuffy, we're an independent franchise. We have three locations in the Des Moines metro area. We have one in Ames, we have one in Clive at on Hickman, and of course we have this one here on Grand. And as far as the empowerment goes, when I sat down and talked to the franchise owners, their comment to me was, run it as if it were your own business. Make sound business decisions, do what's right for your customer. And you know, I've never been called to task for any of the decisions I've made that I recognized as being in the customer's best interest. You know, what I try to do here is when I go out in town, I'm very particular about how I'm treated and the type of service I want to receive, and I just try to reciprocate that back to my own customers. You know, one of the things that I always try to keep in mind is when a customer comes to see me, it's typically not on their best day. They have a problem with their vehicle. They're anxious about it. They're nervous about it. And I have to try to help set them at ease and get them as much information, as much accurate information as I can, as quickly as I can, so they can get on about their business and worry about the rest of their day while I take care of their vehicle.
Well, Jason, I think one of the toughest things for business owners, in which you are, in a sense, an owner at that location, manager, of course, but one of the toughest things is to hire employees who are clones of you versus faded copies. How do you find people that have the passion you have for vehicles and the passion for serving the public as you do?
Well, Johnny, that's an excellent question, and it's certainly a challenge in any industry. But you kind of hit the nail on the head there. In the automotive industry, it's you can have all the personality in the world and all the customer skills in the world, but you do have to have a basic understanding of how the automobile works, how the mechanical systems interact with each other, because you have to be able to explain it to the customer in terms that they're going to understand and talk intelligently about it, because, you know, as you and I had kind of discussed a little on the side, our industry suffers from a small image problem, and I think it's kind of hyped up and overinflated from some of the things we see on newscasts and some of the national news programs. So customers are automatically on the defensive when they come in, and unfortunately some of them have been conditioned to believe that, well, I'm here and I'm going to get ripped off today. I just hope I don't get ripped off too badly. Yeah. So when you can talk intelligently about the mechanical systems involved and you can set the customer at ease, one of the things we do is we take the customer out to the shop when we're going over the estimate, and we physically point to and touch and show each and every item that we are recommending be replaced, and we're explaining why it needs to be replaced.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jason, for people who are listening this morning that may have had this preconceived notion of someone involved in the automotive repair industry as being sort of a dumb, knuckle-dragging grease monkey, you have completely blown that into pieces this morning with your kindness and articulate nature and just the way you handled everything. Can't thank you enough for it. And Jason Henley, I want to say this because it's true. You are truly a hero to those of us who work on the front lines every day to improve customer service. So thank you.
Well, Johnny, thank you. And as a I'd like to extend a thank you to you and your listeners, and as a way of doing that, I'd like to offer $10 off on any service in any of our three facilities. Again, that's in Ames, in Clive, and here in West Des Moines, and I'll also go ahead and do a free air conditioner evaluation on anybody that comes in and mentions that they heard the interview on your show.
I absolutely love it. That is awesome, Jason. Well, a lot of folks listening this morning, and I hope they take advantage of that wonderful offer you've extended to our Unsecret Shopper radio show listeners. And I know I am going to get my car into you so you can tell me what in the world you heard when we were on that test drive. I want that fixed, baby. I got to get that work done.
Outstanding. I'll get you on the schedule, Johnny.
Jason Huntley, thank you so much for doing such great work at the Tuffy's at 2135 West Grand Avenue. Have a great morning.
You too. Thank you, Johnny.
Wow. Let me tell you something. There you go, right there. In real time, you just got, you got your offer. So, wow. Jason, nice job. Well, I hope some folks go in and take advantage of that this morning. Very kind extension from Jason Huntley. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Jason. Also, Brad Murray from Midas on Douglas. I want to thank you as well. And wherever you're going to take your car repaired, whether it's a big box store, whether you're taking it to where you bought your car from, or whether it's a Midas or a Tuffy's or Tires Plus or Amoco or Firestone or Freedom Tire, Goodyear, or wherever you may be taking your car, make sure you remind the people who do smile at you that they're doing a great job, because they are and they will. And we just need to make sure we're acknowledging that, because those folks deserve it. There are a lot of hardworking people, whether or not they're smiling or not, they're all hardworking folks, but it's the folks who really give us that little extra smile and greet and engage. Those are the people we really need to extend our hand out to, say thank you for being great at the customer service aspect of everything, and thank you so much. And thank you.